Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading, the Holy Gospel by Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "This is the first. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, 'He is one, and there is no other than he.' And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw this, he answered him with the understanding. And he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Oftentimes I come in for the Mass and I feel so not worthy for the task. Then I sit over there in some spot that may seem like a spot of honor, but it's a spot to serve. Serve at the altar of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit convicted my heart to say, "Thank you." I'm not going to do it, but in my heart right now, sometimes we get those convictions where our hearts are so full of joy, they feel like they're going to bust. That's the way my heart feels right now as I look out at each and every one of you. And why do I believe the Holy Spirit's putting this on my heart? Because the reality is this, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are here, and it is for our good that we are here. It is for our good that we are here. That scribe came up to talk to Jesus and had a personal encounter with Jesus, and there he was in the flesh, but Jesus' divinity was concealed behind his humanity. He had to make an act of faith, and Jesus says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Because Jesus, true God and man, as he looks out at you and he looks out at me, it is good for us that we are here. It is for our good. We've had a message going on for the past 3 weeks. You may have caught it. Hopefully you've had a chance to at least catch the online video that was so brilliantly prepared with some of our parishioners opening their hearts in such a loving way, talking about worship. But we've had this three-part series over the past 3 weeks talking about discipleship, being a disciple. We hear that word thrown around a lot, and what does it mean? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? So the first week you try to bring in some catchy things that's in your bulletin now, catchy phrases, all that stuff's great, but catchy phrases mean nothing unless they move our hearts to be who we're called to be. Because it is for our good to be disciples of Jesus. Disciple me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Coach me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Mentor me, Lord. It is for our good. And so the first week we spoke about worship. Worship matters. You matter to Jesus. I matter to Jesus. We matter to Jesus. And every single person created in his image and likeness walking the face of this earth, whether they're walking with him, far from him, or whatever, matter to Jesus. And so the first week we talked about worship. That our worship matters. Coming together in community. Jesus did not say, "When you pray, pray my Father." He said, "Pray as we will pray today, our Father. It's for our good, not just my good or your good that you're here, individuals. We are individuals, but we're members of the church. By the one baptism of Jesus Christ, it is for our good that we worship, because worship matters. And how is worship defined? Who defined worship? Jesus Christ himself at the Last Supper. Do this in memory of me. Do this in memory of me. Not just one time, but keep doing it over and over and over. And I am the high priest, as Hebrews speaks about. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in a moment, and I'm going to ask them to flash it up on the screen. You're used to it. We can fall into routine as Catholics and just kind of go through it. I got three masses today, easy to just kind of tick, 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 tick along. But in a moment, I'm going to turn to you after the altar's prepared, after all the initial blessings. I'm going to turn to you and invite you, and Jesus is going to use my vocal cords to invite you and me into worship. And I'm going to pray. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice, and your sacrifice as a priestly people participating in the common priesthood of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm in the ministerial priesthood. Jesus has used me, but you are the common priesthood. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. And I'm going to help you with the words that are up on the screen, and you will say, for our good and the good of all his church. Worship, it's not just about us. It's not centered on us. We worship a God who loves us and all humanity and invites us into worship for our good and the good of all his church. And he wants every single person in his church. And he wants to send us out to proclaim the good news. So the first week, I'm just warming up now. I hope y'all got time. I'm not worried about it. Braves game starts at 8:09. I've been texting them anyway. I got to throw that in. I'm a Braves fan. Anyways, worship. And from worship, we go into disciple me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. The second week, last week, lead me, Word. Spiritual growth matters. We talked about our spiritual growth matters. We focus on a lot of things and growing. Countless of you, if not all of you, you've all sacrificed in different ways to grow intellectually, to grow physically with your talents, to eat right, to do all that. We've done that growth matter. And then we all have to ask in our heart, as Jesus invites us, where am I on the path of my spiritual growth? And I shared the story last week about how, you can watch it on live stream if you want, it's recorded, but how my sister called me out and said, "You're being lazy, brother." And she called me out when I was 27 years old, and that was a wake-up call. It hurt. It was uncomfortable as I was laying comfortably on the couch after my 74-mile bike ride and my 2-mile swim and my 2-mile run, or not one, but 6-mile run, because I was training for an Ironman triathlon. So I was all about the physical. As I was preparing for advancing in my job, I was all about that, but I was just being a lazy uncle. I was laying on the couch and not even tending my niece and nephews, who are now 27 years old. Now they're older. She called me out. Our spiritual growth matters. It is for our good. It is for our good. How many are starving and searching for and grasping for hope in our times? Okay? And I got an amen. I love the amen. Someone goes, amen. Bring it now. Amen. Amen. We want some hope. You know, we were Monday, and I'm getting really distracted now. Monday, we were doing a message meeting. We do this message meeting, Father Mike and I, and we sit down, and I won't call them out, but with two of our amazing staff members. One's a mother, one's a father of children and all that stuff, and we just sit in the hot seat, and we let them grill us. Grill us. That homily didn't do nothing for me last week, Father. You gave me another go. Whoa! Boop, 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 boop. You're supposed to be loving me, telling me good things. Like the person who walks out and says, oh, I love your homily. What'd you get out of it? I can't remember anything, but I love your homily. Thank you for the incense or whatever. It's not to me. Give it to God. Don't give it to me. But anyway, so we're sitting there and we're talking. I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll just give some story about sitting on a cup of coffee and sitting on the porch and just contemplating the beauty of God and all that stuff and get connected and we should worship and all that stuff. And this one staff member says, that sounds great, but if, you know, my cup of coffee's racing out to carpool, spilling it all over myself and getting in the car and not even finishing it, that's my world. How do you preach to me? Preach to my Monday. And so spiritual growth, to find those ways to grow spiritually, even in that race to carpool, in that service, in that activity. How can I do something, turn off the radio, doing something to dialogue with our Lord? And I'm not saying this to brag, but I drove all the way back from Game 3 of the World Series, and the whole way back, I was driving back, read the gospel, and just talked to Jesus about it the whole time, and prayed for this encounter with you, knowing that he loves you. It is for our good that we grow spiritually. Now, I'm getting to the heart of the homily, and what I'm about ready to say, I'm going to tell you three emotions are going to get you in your seat. Three, okay? One, it's either going to inform you, this homily. It's either going to convict you, this homily. Or it's going to irritate you, this homily. Hopefully it's not last, irritating you, right? Inform, convict, or irritate. Jesus, here's the ticket. Jesus never, ever, ever let his disciples remain comfortable. In John 15, he says, remain in my love. If we're going to remain in Jesus' love, that means we're going to be stretched, and we're going to grow, and we're going to do what he did, and we're going to love the Lord God with our whole heart, our soul, all our strength, and our neighbors, ourselves, with that type of love of a Christian, a crucified love for our neighbor, a dying to ourselves, a sacrificing for others. Disciple me, Lord. Coach me, Lord. Lead me, Lord, in your ways. To worship is a state of being. To worship is to live a constant saint thanksgiving, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us. To live in a constant thanksgiving. To let our lives be Eucharist. To let our lives be ground wheat and those grapes crushed, so that we go out and we bring life into our world. Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. There's one moment in Scripture where St. Paul says, and you'll never find it in any of the Gospels, and I give it to you as your homework, mainly because I can't remember the verse or the chapter. It's my homework too. How about that? It's good to memorize Scripture, verse, and passage and all that stuff. But in one of his letters, and you can search his letters, but you'll find it, St. Paul says, remember what our Lord Jesus Christ said. Well, he said a lot of things in the Gospels. But he says, remember what our Lord Jesus Christ says. There's far more in giving than in receiving. The closest I ever got to that, finding that exact quote of Jesus, was in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Got that one. Which is, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, packed down, overflowing into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will be measured back out to you. Which dovetails perfectly with John 15, 11 through 12. I tell you this, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, to love one another as I love you. Lacking joy, lacking hope, we're going to get it by giving. By giving of ourselves to our spouse. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, which is a crucified love. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, which doesn't mean, usually that gets the Bible going, boop. It means be at the foot of the cross of your husbands, crucified out of love for you. Children, honor your mother and father. These things bring joy, but these things do not come about without a gift of self. So for a disciple of Jesus Christ, worship matters. Spiritual growth matters. Giving matters. And please don't take this the wrong way if you didn't come to Mass today with your brown bag with all your goodies that you can give to those who need, who are hungry, because this is Give Sunday, okay? Don't take it personal by no means. One of our parishioners came up and said, Father, if there's some way we could just kind of get up there and preach and tell everybody and tell these amazing families that are coming here, they can go to the grocery store, get a little more, put it in a bag. If we could only tell them, Father, we could only tell them. It was a beautiful heart. But do we start like that as church? Beating the pulpit and doing all that? Or do we start at the heart? Do we start asking people to give as a solicitation, give? Or do we become and live a state of worship that moves us to give from our heart without even being asked? To turn it around and not say we need to put all this promotion stuff out there, but to turn it around and see the need of our neighbor. Maybe their physical need, a house, clothing, food, but also in the same breath as Jesus sees us and sees others, to see their needs spiritually. To educate the ignorant, to comfort the doubtful, to lift up the downtrodden. My brothers and sisters, to be a disciple of Jesus means from within, from conviction, not for stats, not for percentages, not for I did this or they did that or this did that, but to give from our hearts. We all know the story of the widow's mite. Here it comes. Here's the part that's going to irritate me. Talking about money. Someone once says a priest went off to visit a family fundraising. And the father said, they said, then father, all you want is my money. And the priest says, yep, I want it all. And I want your wife and your children and everybody. I want you all coming. And if you give it all, God's going to give you 90-some-odd percent back. He's giving you everything he got. So it's not about it. It's about an offering. It's about an offering. And the widow's mite, she was there. She came in, and she worked her way, and she dropped that little bit in. And Jesus got excited because she gave from her heart. Imagine, and I'm going to close with this. I'm coming in for landing, okay? All right? Imagine, and I can't do it. It's got to be an invitation for Jesus. But imagine, people are like, how many people give to the church? I don't, 60-some percent. We're blessed. We got an amazingly generous. But imagine if 100 gave. And not the amount that you give, and not the percentage of giving, but they gave from the heart. Think of what we can do. And it's like, well, St. Gabriel's doing great. He's good. Do you know we have 9 high schools? Our youth ministry only consists of 3 young people and another person, and they went to Myers Park last week. They went to Charlotte Cack before. We got 9 high schools to get out to. We got 9 independent living homes. And Deacon Michael Goat is going out and visiting them and calling me in and calling Father Michael in. We got 9 of that. We have a city to serve. We have people lacking hope. And imagine if we have more and more disciples going out and doing the things and bringing the word of Jesus to others. Why is it in the city, after having Bishop Curlin as our bishop, the spiritual director of Mother Teresa Calcutta, we do not have a soup kitchen in the city? We do not have a homeless shelter in the city. We got the Missionaries of Charity right down the road. They've dedicated their life to it, and I know the Mother Superior, and they said they'll send another 3 or 4 sisters in. Then we can feed them, preach them the gospel, and lift them up and collaborate. Collaborate with the amazing other people in our amazing city who are doing good things. Good things. But we're believers. We know we can even do a greater thing, which is to give somebody something to eat and open the word of God to them so they can feast on that and receive the hope that they need. We can call them by name. And it's at every level, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Every level, it doesn't matter. Spent 5 years as chaplain for the Atlanta Braves. Everybody's all excited about World Series. I want them to win. I want them to close today. Texting those coaches in the morning when I know they're getting their cup of coffee at 11 o'clock after being at the ballpark till 2. And say, I'm praying for you. And they know what I mean when I say I'm praying for them. They know because they have it on their heart. They want the Lord to disciple them. And ESPN Sports Center and all that stuff's not showing it because I know the head coach of that team, and I'm not saying the Houston may have awesome coaches too. I just don't know them. But the head coach there, I know that everybody in that stadium, whether they're serving popcorn or hitting home runs, they know he loves them. And he doesn't have to wear it on his sleeve because he's just striving to be a disciple in his worship, in his spiritual growth, and in the way he gives of himself. My brothers and sisters in Christ, like never before, let's prepare ourselves. So when we pray for our good and a good of all his holy church, we mean it. Because our worship, our growth, and our giving matters.